In the absence of the bishop and Father Craig, we are indeed about to have a real treat as David Infinger has a word for us.
Well, this is just a real short word. And so, you know, the Lord says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. So our weapons, you know, especially thinking about Thanksgiving coming up, giving thanks is a powerful weapon of warfare. So if you're ever just kind of in a bad mood or whatever, just pause this week and just start thanking Jesus, thanking him for his goodness. And we thank you, Jesus, for your presence here. We thank you for your goodness. We just thank you that every time we need you, you're right there. We just thank you. Just let your presence come in this place today, Jesus. We just give you the thanks that you're deserving and worthy of, Jesus. And I just want to talk for just a second about the kingdom of God being the unstoppable force. It's unstoppable. The kingdom of God, a lot of people have written and talked about it, but simply the kingdom of God is just the place where his presence reigns, where everything is in line with his will and his purposes, and where his presence reigns. And the kingdom of God is the king, is Jesus. Jesus and his kingdom are one. And someone said that we, you know, we're in Christ. We mark the boundary lines of the kingdom of God. So wherever we are, God's kingdom by his presence should be invading through us. And I've just been, I don't know why, but persecution has been a lot on my mind. This will kind of address that a little bit. But I want to start in Daniel. Daniel saw the kingdom of God coming, and I don't remember, but he's like thousands of years before Jesus. I don't remember exactly when, but Daniel saw Jesus. Jesus, of course, is God. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who came in. And when Jesus came, the kingdom of God came in fullness. He said, the kingdom of heaven is here now. Up until Jesus, the kingdom of heaven hadn't been fully established. But when Jesus came, the kingdom of heaven broke into earth. So Nebuchadnezzar, you know, had this dream. And he says, not only do I need this dream interpreted, but I'm not even going to tell you what the dream is. So he calls in all of his, you know, spiritualists. And he says, I'm not going to tell you the dream if you're really, you know, so powerful. You tell me the dream and give me the interpretation. And he says, if you don't, I'm going to kill all of you. I'm going to kill every one of you. And so that included Daniel and his buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they fasted. They hit their knees and said, God, give, you know, you can do this, God. Show us so that not only our lives will be spared, but the lives of these people will be spared. And so let me scale up a little bit. So they prayed, and the Lord gave Daniel the dream. It says, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Now I'm just going to read real short what the dream was. So Daniel goes up to Nebuchadnezzar and says, you, O king, beheld a great image. The image, it was a statue. And it says, the head of this image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. And you looked, a stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them into pieces. Then the iron, the clay, and the bronze, the silver, and the gold, all together were broken into pieces, and became like chaff of the summer threshing floor. That's very poetic for such a cataclysmic image. So then he gives the interpretation. And it says this, you, he's talking to Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. Another kingdom inferior to you shall arise after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over the earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, because iron breaks into pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, it shall break and crush all things. And so, let me scroll down here. Give me just one moment. And he says, in those days the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from the mountain by no human hand, and that broke into pieces of iron and bronze and clay and silver and gold. You know, he's referring here to the king. I hope this is a lot of imagery here, but he saw a statue, and the statue represented four kingdoms, and it was standing on a stone. The stone came and crushed all the other kingdoms. The stone is the kingdom of God, that nothing can stop, that nothing can thwart, that nothing can prevent. And we are in that kingdom now. The kingdom of heaven is at hand now. Jesus came and he brought the kingdom with him. You know, and where the Holy Spirit is, his kingdom is there, his liberty is there. And, you know, it's interesting to me that Daniel got this image in the midst of some severe persecution. I mean, his life was at stake here. And so I'm not going to get into all of it. In fact, I'm just going to briefly go over this because I was watching Heidi Baker, and she was giving a talk about a lot of the persecution going on in Mozambique. And I don't know if you know who Heidi Baker is, but she's a missionary in Africa. And she's normally pretty cheery. I mean, she's been through a lot, but this time whenever I saw her, she was, I mean, wasn't in person, but she was just they've been through a lot. I mean, I can't even say and won't say the things that they're going through. It's extremely intense. But I think, I hope and pray, you know, in our lifetime we don't see that level of persecution in the United States. I mean, it's easy to glamorize persecution, but it's not something we should ever want or ever hope for. But should it come, there is good news because it can't stop the kingdom of God from advancing. So, you know, in this Bible it has references and whatever, but this is the New Testament pretty much, and then there's also some references back there. And the entire New Testament, we can't even fully appreciate without the experience of persecution. I mean, it's written to us, we can receive it, we can get its fullness, but the whole thing, I don't think we really understand in our context, was written by people 24/7 under intense persecution. Some of the most intense persecution in church history actually happened in the first 3 centuries of the church. And the verse that I just kind of want to land on, or frame this all out in, is 1 Peter chapter 4, and I won't look it up, but it just says this. He said, just as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. Just as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. Christ suffering in the flesh, of course, he's referring to the persecution. And there's a way in which we need to be prepared for that, whether it comes in our lifetime or not, because Scripture says that that's a weapon of our warfare, is going to be preparing ourselves for persecution. But I would say not just for persecution, but preparing ourselves for the glory that God wants to reveal through being persecuted. I think we're not doing ourselves a favor by hiding from some of the grim realities that come with persecution. We're really not. We need to be able to hear as many stories as we can of believers that have been faithful under trial. We need to hear that. It's not easy, and I'm not going to share those stories, but we also need to hear the stories of God breaking in. You know, Jesus showed up to Paul 3 times, once as a persecutor and twice as persecuted. We all want to see Jesus. I would love to see Jesus. And I think he shows up to us even when we're having good days. I think he can show up anytime. But he shows up to Paul twice as someone persecuted. Then he shows up to John on the Isle of Patmos as he's been exiled. They tried to burn him alive. They couldn't do it. So they exiled him. So Jesus shows up in these really intense places. There was a missionary with YWAM. He did a secret mission to Iraq, and he was caught with one of his friends, and they were taken, they were beaten. I won't go through all the details, but he hit a point where he was just done. He was ready to check out. I mean, and I think you know what I mean by that. And he tried to, actually. But then Jesus himself, light flooded the room, and Jesus himself appeared to this man, and he had a big smile on his face, and he said, I'm going to get you through this, it's going to be okay. And so the next day the persecutor came to get this missionary, and the missionary said, well, if you're going to be beating me every day, we might as well be friends. Will you be my friend? And he stuck out his hand to this Muslim missionary, and the guy started trembling, started shaking. Then he started weeping. The power of God started touching this missionary, and he took his hand and he shook his hand, and the next day the guy was released. And it reminds me also of, you know, Peter in the Bible was taken captive. And the church began to make fervent intercession for Peter, and an angel of God came and set Peter free. We all want to see angels, and I've seen books about people seeing angels. I want to see angels. I think I've seen a couple angels before. I think we can see them without being persecuted, but they show up a whole lot. You know, in the Gospels, the only time angels are actually mentioned as being seen are in the wilderness, when Jesus is in the wilderness, and when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Those are the times that angels manifest. Now, they probably saw angels other times than that, but there is a consolation in those times. So, anyway, me talking about persecution is like, a bird talking about scuba diving. I'm not going through persecution. It's cheap talk in some ways, you know, but then finally there's a story of, that I think I mentioned before, but Robbie Dawkins, he does a lot of mission work in the Middle East, actually training missionaries to go and pray for people in public. And so he was training Afghani believers to go pray for the sick, pray for healing, and how to do power evangelism, essentially. And they were caught, and Robbie was in the U.S., and they called Robbie on their cell phone. They didn't check their burqas, and they said, Robbie, we're in prison, you know, what do we do? And Robbie said, pray for the sick, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. They said, that's what got us here in the first place. You want us to keep doing this? He said, keep doing it. And so they started praying for people in the cells next to them. People in the cells next to them started getting healed. The guard heard about this, and he came by and he said, my wife has migraines. Can you just come to my house and pray for my wife? So the believers came. They prayed for her wife. Demons came out of his wife, and she was healed. And they said, and the guard said this, look, I'll let you go, but promise me you'll come back in a week to make sure my wife is still healed. They said, we'll come back. So they came back. The lady was still healed. They both gave their life to Jesus. Now there's a church being planted in that house. And so I think when we're faced with difficult situations, we only have two options, and that's either to advance, continue advancing, or to be shut down. And so, I mean, this applies to more than just persecution, but I don't know why this theme kind of kept returning to me. And then one more quick story. So Paul and Silas were in prison, and they were singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and the prison doors flew open, and the chains came loose. That's amazing. Another time, Paul is shipwrecked on an island, and he heals everybody on the island. You know, I just cite these things to say Jesus' kingdom is always advancing. Nothing can stop his kingdom. But we have to be rooted in union with Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly looking outward, outside of ourselves, constantly praying for people, constantly prophesying and seeing his kingdom advance. That's the only way, I'm telling you. That's the only way to grow in the midst of persecution is to keep, or whatever, coronavirus, whatever. You'll shrivel up and die if you try to save your life. You will. But if you lose your life for his sake and you keep serving, you keep seeing his kingdom come through you, you will grow too in the midst of that. So, yeah, we just praise you and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.